Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter, as ever. And alongside me, as ever, is Mr. Stephen Wilkinson. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello.
He's here, and as you probably tell, isn't fading in and out because he's not falling in and out of a chaos created warp storm.
I like doing that. It's good fun. It's good for the soul.
Yes. Fresh from the Cicatrix Maledictum.
Hello.
everyone's going to go Google that now. You will be disappointed. You will be disappointed. Yeah, you can no longer do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs because the galaxy has been ripped in half. This is some more astronomical news. Oh, wait a minute, this is a Simcast. Can't talk about that anymore. How are you, young sir? How have you been?
I've been very well. Yeah, just as always, lots of athletics. It's the summer. It's the common thing now. But yeah, just ticking along. It's going all right.
He's continuing with his maddening idea of athletics NASCAR.
I am. It is, yeah. It hurts.
Deeply eloquent response. Yes. I'll try to think what we can talk about. So basically, you can get in touch with us. Have we got threads? I assume we've got threads. I think we've got threads. Have we got threads? Let's check. Quickly check. I mean, you can get us at Simcast Radio on Twitter if that is still a thing. Let me just check, because I have to admit, I assume. There we are.
We have threads?
We have threads. You can get us at Simcast Radio, all one word, on threads. My, we're hip and down with the kids.
I still believe that threads isn't real. I just think it's fake.
I mean, I'm on it, so... It can't be that fake. And more to the point, I'm on it, and I was an early adopter as well, so I must, in fact, be with it.
You're down with the threads. You're hanging in there.
I am down with the... Yeah, this isn't turning into... I'm not disturbed. I am, but not in that sense.
You're down with the twine.
Yes, so you can get us on threads now, so that's quite cool. I think we're also Simcast Radio on Instagram. Sorry. We are Simcast Radio on IG, because apparently that's what you call it, even though it's all one word.
I just call it the gram.
The gram?
The gram, yeah. The old grammars. The old Instagrams. But then, if I start saying the gram, that doesn't.
You're doing rappy hand gestures when you say that, aren't you?
I am indeed. You know, like a really hip. You know, the gram. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I'm doing a Picard facepalm right now.
Anyway, before I embarrass myself anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you're on this show. How much more embarrassed do you want to be? We have, on that note, we have guests coming up next month, so look forward to that. And of course, you can get us on the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective on Facebook, which is very much still a thing. Just owned by a different billionaire with different problems. The fact that he looks like an android is one of them.
yeah. I can't unsee that now, but yeah.
He does though, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He looks like, I'm not being funny, he looks like he could be Data's stunt double.
Yeah, I like that.
Anyway, Yeah, so I'm trying to think. Did anything big happen last weekend in motorsport? I'm really struggling with my brain at the moment. No, because it was the Wimbledon, wasn't it? And it was the British Grand Prix the week before. The boys got to talk about stuff about that.
It was Goodwood. Festival of Speed.
It was Goodwood. It's only Goodwood Festival of Speed because a quarter of it obviously didn't happen.
Yes.
Mm.
It was the Goodwood Festival of Friday and Sunday. Saturday
yeah,
never happened.
Yeah. Thursday, Friday and Sunday, yeah. I wish I'd gone, in all honesty, because there were some mighty fine cars there. But the flip to that, of course, is that we would have gotten rather damp. And not because we were excited by the...
A friend of mine from Athletics went to Goodwood. Oh, yeah. He went all what would have been all 4 days. He had a lot of fun, but even in those days, I asked him, I was like, can you take some photos of the new Lamborghini hypercar? He's like, yeah, I will. There was that much there that he never actually found it. I was like, wow.
Have you ever been?
I haven't, but I'm going to the Goodwood Revival this year.
Oh, you're beating me.
So I'm getting dressed up this year. I cannot wait. So I'm getting dressed up in 1950s attire. And yeah,
very good.
It's going to be really good fun. I will definitely send some photos on the old Grammos.
God.
Or if I'm in 1950s, would it be the gramophones?
I've said to Steph, I really want to go, but I want to be thin enough to do the proper country gent look. You know, the nice tweed jacket and, you know, refined looks and stuff like that. And then I was politely reminded that, have you seen most country gents? They're pretty round. And I was like, oh.
To be fair, yeah. That's... then, yeah, I mean, just go. Just look.
I am going to do it eventually. It's going to be
How much was a one-day ticket? I mean, I was a little bit shocked.
I'm going to go with a kidney.
I mean... I was in the sense that I could have got a week worth of Le Mans for the one day, but...
See, isn't it interesting? And actually, you're not the only person. So I generally do my sort of measuring stick of motorsport affordability now is basically Le Mans.
And you've only got me to blame for that. That's what
I've got even John as well. But the thing is, it's like you look at the Spa 24. And I was doing the Spa 24 Hours. I thought, oh God, Spa 24 Hours, that's got to be pretty good, isn't it? And I looked and I was like, no, it's more expensive for less time.
It was €35 the last time I went to
it's Spa. It's not €35 now.
What?
No.
How much is the Spa? Like, for 4 days, so Thursday to Sunday, it was 35 euros.
It's like 80 euros now.
I'm going to have a fight with the SRO because that's ludicrous.
And you have to pay extra to get into the paddock.
Oh, no, you don't do that. You just go Sunday at like midnight, Saturday night into Sunday, and then they just let you walk in because it's still open till 2 a.m. You just walk in.
We do not condone breaking and entering on this
it's
show.
It's not breaking and entering. They weren't on the gate.
We do not condone bribing Belgian officials.
What, with Fritz and but yeah,
dear Lord.
Yeah, so you just I'm actually shocked it's like €80 now. That's mad. When did I last go? Was it 2018? Yeah, 2018.
Yeah, because you nearly got hit by a car on the main road, didn't you? When you were taking
I did. That was fun. I nearly got killed by a Bentley. That was a lot of fun.
I mean, if you're going to get killed by a car, that is the one to get. I was hit by a state. I mean, you got up to the pearly gates. What happened? I was hit by a stately car, stately home.
I was hit by a V8 stately home. What?
On purpose.
On purpose. Yes, no. I was.
People may think that this show is a melange of idiocy and random thoughts and stuff. But can you believe it? The accidental segue that just occurred is Rennsport has added or has announced that they are adding Goodwood to their game.
See, what non-modded games have Goodwood in? Because I think that's brilliant.
Gran Turismo 6?
Because I've not heard them, but then I've never actually really played Gran Turismo. So to me, nothing.
The only official one, I think, is Gran Turismo 6. The other one, everything looks like I've got it on AC, but it's a mod, obviously.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool, because if you've got the actual circuit and the hill climb as the two, I think that's...
They've only said the hill climb.
Either way, I think that's really cool.
But of course, Gran Turismo did also have... Well, I think they swapped out, so I think they had the hill climb and the circuit, and now they just have the circuit.
But why would you not have the hill climb? Because I think the hill climb's... Lie. Do you say you lie?
No, I literally don't know.
Oh. I think the hill climb is actually really cool, because you could do a lot of like community-driven events on that. I think that's really quite cool. You and an entire lobby's worth of friends are just like doing runs up the hill climbing all the cars that you just built and you really like. Like, you know, I'd have a 1970s Porsche 911 and just go sideways.
Yeah. I need to pester Ben about this because I'm pretty certain he said he was trying to get on the beta for this. In fact, I thought you did get on the beta for this and he hasn't mentioned it at all. So either he's keeping secrets from us, in which case, bad Ben, or he hasn't actually got access to it and he hasn't pestered as to why he has got access to it. In which case, lazy Ben.
Unbelievable.
I know. Bad. It's terrible.
Just disgusting.
I wanted to sort of... And, you know, initially I was kind of like, oh, blooming heck, they've added that. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's not already in the game. But it's not. They've also announced that the 963 is in as well, which is also the first WEC IMSA car to be in Rennsport. Obviously, the only other official iteration we've seen of that car so far is the Le Mans Ultimate version. Ultimate in air quotes, until proven otherwise.
Until proven otherwise. Yeah, I'm very sceptical of Le Mans Ultimate.
Yeah, but we'll see. But I think I have to say that the video that they put out with this, the model that they've done for this for the 963 is just stupidly good looking.
It does look detailed. Really really nice. I'm not gonna lie, yeah, it does look really good.
It is maddeningly realistic. I'm still hoping that this appears in iRacing soon, because I badly want to drive it. But
that would bring iRacing up to 4 off the top of my head. Hypercars or DPI hypercars? Are they only going DPI? Are they only got DPIs in iRacing?
Because I thought they were. I thought there were rumors that it was having the Ferrari at some point, but whether they do or not. So they've got the Cadillac, they've got the Beamer, they've got. Oh, what have they got?
It's Cadillac and Beamer is the only one, isn't it?
Oh, so they'd have 3 then.
The 3. I wondered if it was 3 or 4. I couldn't.
But that is still pretty good, you know, for a consistent contemporary class in iRacing. I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then like you only really need 3 or 4 for a top class. Well, 3 really for a top class in a variety of manufacturers, and then you've got sort of a nice mix, if that makes sense.
Yeah, especially this is probably a fever dream I've had or something, but I'm pretty sure I saw the LMP2 Ligier was coming as well.
Does that naturally become 4 seconds a lap slower to the Dallara? And the they haven't got the Orica, have they? No, they do have the Orica, do they not?
Do you know? No, they've got the Dallara, haven't they?
They've got the Dallara. Okay, so it's going to be 2 seconds a lap faster than the Dallara.
I didn't realize until I heard a throwaway comment. I don't even think it was at Le Mans. I think it was at. No, it wasn't there. Was it Le Mans? Where did they go after Le Mans? Monza. Might have been at Monza. I didn't realize the Porsche was. The GTP was based off the LMP2 chassis. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bespoke one, but it's not. So.
Nope. I think the Cadillac is a Dallara chassis underpinnings of it as well.
I think so, the Porsche is too. Might be wrong.
They are all like LMP2s, and then that's why I think they're phasing out LMP2 eventually anyway, because they're just going to become...
Yeah. And then they're also having the performance alteration at the end of the season to bring them even more in line with the WEC hypercars, which are, let's make no bones about it, faster.
Yeah, they are just faster.
Well, I think they're faster in a different way. I think, because the Cadillac, this is the thing. I absolutely love Le Mans. It's the best Le Mans I've seen in a very, 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 very long time. Super pleased for Ferrari winning that. That was obvious, blatantly obvious that they would basically then struggle at Monza, because
someone
would have become upset that they didn't win Le Mans and would have wanted to have given them a bloody nose at their home track. So there's that. But nobody's really talking about just how damn good the Cadillac was.
Yeah, considering the car that come third, I think, was in the wall after like the first hour.
Yeah.
Because it decided it wanted to be a boat. But yeah, I was pleased with it. It was good. Am I disappointed that the hypercars or the WEC cars are a little bit more in tune with how the rules are? They're getting like the better half of the marriage, if that makes sense. kind of, but then I am a Porsche fan. But then Porsche need to up the game, because the car is clearly not... The car clearly has some issues. I was reading an article in Race Car Engineering, actually, and they were suffering from gearbox issues, vibration issues, and I think that ultimately led to some suspension issues as well, all in the rear, and that's not what you want for even a 6-hour race, let alone a 24.
People be like, what are you talking about sim racing, please? Well, it kind of is, in a way. I am like super surprised, because Porsche was one of the first ones to sort of show off their new car. They've done a lot of testing, and yet they've just not really kind of been there. I'm really surprised by that.
It is weird, and you can see how reverting this back onto sim racing a little bit, how much the correlation between the analytical data, like the actual sim data, and the CFD and FEA analysis data that you have in like wind tunnels and also your CAD stuff, how that's actually transferred into building parts and then ultimately testing those parts. So how the chassis is flexing, how forces are going through and everything, which their development path has gone through that way inclined and then going into the real world, and that transition into the real world isn't working, if that makes sense. There's something that isn't right, and then they're going into races going, we're okay, but everyone else needs to have problems. The problem is that you're not in the early 2000s when cars spontaneously have a gearbox issue.
No.
Cars are bulletproof now. So you can't just go, well, we'll run 23 hours and hope for the best, and we'll hopefully everyone else will have a problem around us. It's you have to run 30 hours flat out. And then the 24 is you run even faster. And that's the issue, I think.
It is really going to be interesting to see how they develop towards the end of this season. It's clear, I'd say they're in a bit, they are in a better place than they were at the start of the year. I mean, Daytona was just horrendous, I think, from memory.
Yeah, and they're also the team that's also taking customer cars as well. So
because there's three now, isn't there?
There is. So you've got to think that like they're building cars, and like these 963s, they don't have like production line things like the Porsche Cup car and things like that have, where like if you crash it, it's okay because you could just call up your local Porsche dealer and they'll have a rear wing for you. This you actually have to go to Vysak and go, I've been a bit of a whoopsie, I've ploughed it into Radeon. And it'll
you may have seen it on telly.
You might have seen it on telly. I've done all four corners of my car. Do you have some spares? They're going to go, well, sorry, but we're building three customer cars at the moment. Not really. Yeah. So it's interesting how Porsche are doing this year with this car.
I'm intrigued to see what their ceiling is going to be in terms of customer cars as well. Especially when you think Ferrari made noises about customers, but they haven't committed to any. Toyota simply won't. I don't know if anyone would want, even though Toyota's clearly winning things, it's a bit like getting a cheat code, isn't it?
Yes, and it's also that brand thing. It's like if you're a race team and you could be like, well, I could have a customer car from Porsche, which I know that they have umpteen thousand customer teams and cars and things, and I know I can get the support, the tech and everything like that. Or I can get it from Toyota, which might be a winning or a better car. But do I have the support and the resources behind that?
Mm.
And that's the thing. So, I don't know. Anyway, that was a tangent.
speaking of Cadillac, should we move on to Forza Motorsport? Which the Cadillac the Cadillac GTP is in fact the cover star. And on Forza Monthly... that came out this week. We learned a little bit more about a couple of aspects of it. The physics being one of the major things. I think the physics in... I hate using the Simcade terminology, but that is fundamentally what Forza and Gran Turismo are. They focused on the physics, they focused on the AI, and they also talked about something that really made me giggle. They talked about the focus of the game as well, which we'll come on to in a bit. So now, luckily, you don't have to listen to me talking about the suspension and all this, that, and the other as presented in Forza Motorsport, because we have an engineering expert here. So who knows significantly more about the ups and downs of such things, pun intended. So Steve, over to you.
Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoyed reading and hearing about this Forza article because they now have sort of capital letters of Sim and then Cade rather than just a capital S and then Arcade is in capitals. They're sort of leaning towards trying to sort of make their mark with the iRacings and the Assetto courses, I would think is more of their target. Is Assetto Corsa Competizione with how they're sort of directing their development of this game or sim game now, as they're sort of trying to allude to. Because their development priorities now, they're going more circuit racing with modern cars, and that includes road cars with race car as well. But that being Forza, I can't help but thinking, is their terminology of a modern race car is... the Bentley Aero Speed 8 or whatever.
The thing is,
not modern to me because I was 8 years old when that came out.
The thing is with that, let's talk about that before we move on to the rest of the physics thing. I am not disappointed. Now, I know a lot of people went, What do you mean you're not doing drag? What do you mean you're not doing drift? What do you mean you're not doing enter random tiny element of air quotes motorsport here? Forza has always been predominantly circuit based. That's correct. Kind of, yep, the point. And I'm a firm believer that if you have a game that tries to be too many things for too many people, you end up with a massively diluted experience. And I wholeheartedly believe that that is what Forza became through 6 and 7. It wanted to be all things to all people, and by doing that, achieved absolutely none of them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Because if you wanted to do... What is that quote-unquote motorsport thing called? It begins with T. Is it Togue or something?
Oh, Torgue.
Torgue, that one. Now,
amount of people who want Fujimi Kaido back in the game. It's like, come on, just... There's literally a game for that. It's called Drift X. Or get a Seta Corsa and get the mods for it and do it on that. Get Forza Horizon, which has lots of drifting in it.
And that's the thing, is that now you can have Forza Horizon to do Horizon-y things, which is driving with your friends up and down mountains and pretending you're doing Tokyo Drift and just have a tank and drive out of buildings and it's all for family. Anyway, but
when
yeah,
you're in
so
space, you don't need family.
Exactly. but they say that drift and drag are not in the game upon release, so they will come in. So everyone, you can calm your farms. Will have drift and drag, but drag tires are in, and so are drift setups. So you can have your cars, production cars, and you can put all your stuff on it, and you can go drifting around. Wherever, I don't know, whatever's in the game, Virginia Motorsport Park or something.
I mean, the picture in the thing that we're looking at is actually Mid Ohio, which I'm quite excited that is finally in Forza. But yeah,
let's hope we actually have a whole thing of like a whole series calendar of tracks that you can.
We won't have that.
No, it's Forza.
I fully expect. MSV being the sim racing hoes that they are will absolutely ensure that all their circuits appear at some point.
That'd be good.
Because I have to admit, I think I'd rather have all of the MSV circuits in a game than I would Silverstone.
Imagine doing drifting around Cadwell Park.
I think most people do.
See, that is amazing, see? Yeah, that's what you want.
Is the Bedford Autodrome.
Yes. That's actually, I've ran that. That's a desolate place.
That was the pause of a man going, really?
I mean, I do have a bit of flashbacks from that, but not great ones because the rain was horizontal and just horrendous, and I was running that. So that is a really long straight in the Bedford Autodrome doing a half marathon there. Don't recommend. Anyway, so what they've changed in Forza, going into Forza 8, is this 8? Or is this just Motorsport now?
It's Forza Motorsport, but it is 8, yes.
It is 8. I lost count after 6, to be honest.
Well, I mean, that is as high as I know you can count, so that's okay.
Fair.
It's okay.
Fair. Yeah, I'm from the east of England. Like, we only do it on one hand, so we do count up to about
and
eight.
You do have six fingers on that, so that's
exactly.
Okay.
So that's how we do it. So the older Forza games used to have the way the tires used to interact with the ground. They used to have one contact point, like built into the tire, which is clearly obviously wrong. The world of a tire actually works. It has millions of contact points, but you can't have that. That one contact point led to some really weird interactions with the tire. So if, for example, you had 1.5 degrees of negative camber and you're turning into a corner, and that point on that inside loaded tire
had, I don't know, you went over a curb or something, and that then lost traction, the whole tire across that would then have that interaction, which obviously isn't right. So everything under that contact patch would then have, say, 200 newtons going through it, which just wouldn't interact right with how it would in the real world. So that meant that some extremely weird and strange things of how that tire worked to how the player would feel the car. In a sense, when you were braking and then you hit a bump, momentarily the car would lose contact on that tire or two tires. Which, if you've ever played like Forza 4 and you break into, for example, Mulsanne Corner, I used to experience that a lot with like Porsches, because everything in that car used to go forward because it was like 60% to the rear. And from 180 mile an hour, that's in game, that's really quite scary. When you suddenly have no front tires and 80% of your loading has gone to the front and you've got nothing holding in the front, basically you're floating momentarily. So now the car, or now in game, the car or the tires have 8 points of contact, which is really cool. I'd like to know how they're arranged, because I know that sounds very nerdy, but that's depending on how would be how they would interact with each other through the tire. I'd imagine it also would be like 3 at the front half of the contact patch, 2 in the middle, and 3 at the back, because then they sort of will interact with each other much better. So a nice 3-2-3 formation. Sounds like I'm doing football. This is FIFA now, apparently. and they've upped the hertz to 360 frequency, or hertz frequency. So you get 6 times more data per second through the tire, which means you're going to feel 6 times more inputs, if that makes sense.
I mean, theoretically, that also means then that people who are running motion rigs and decent force feedback wheels as well should get, because obviously it being a car, all of your feedback comes through the tires.
Yeah.
So theoretically, with a higher refresh rate, you should be getting significantly better feel through it, which is something I think a lot of people who run wheels on Forza have struggled with for, well, forever really.
Yeah. I hand on heart, I've never used a pad on Forza. In Forza 4, when I used to do sim racing and things like that and everything, I've never run a pad, and I was consistently about a second off of the guys who were in using pads comparably to like skill level. And they were always saying that, oh yeah, you could just turn in here, and I'm like, well, you can't, because I can't feel what's going on. Like, do you see what I mean? Like, they're just completely turning in. I get all the force feedback but no feeling of what the tire is doing, so I just get weight, and then all of a sudden I'm understeering, but I can't feel that understeer and the tire sort of living underneath through my hand. So hopefully with 6 times more in Forza 8 or Forza Motorsport, you should be able to feel a lot more, which is good. Go on.
I was going to say, it's interesting because you think obviously a set of course of competitive only not long ago, I think with update 1.9, when we talked about it on the show, didn't we? You know, we sort of said,
yeah,
where they'd worked heavily on their tire model, predominantly around tire temps and the effective zoning therein. I'm not entirely sure whether they upped the number of contact points that they have, but I remember originally, or certainly back along, it was 5. But it's really interesting to sort of see how developers, they talk about the physics and this, that, and the other. We've built our tire model from the ground up, blah, blah, blah.
I know. I hate that term.
I know. But it's really interesting to see that the focus is sort of, it still is on tracks and cars and graphics and blah, blah, blah. But we're finally starting to remember that actually the most important thing about any driving game, any racing game, are the 4 black things that connect you to the circuit.
Yes. It is, and literally those 4 black things that connect you to the circuit which separate you from St. Peter's Gate. So
yeah, and yeah,
and they need to be done right.
Yeah, well, yeah, because ultimately is going to be deeply affected by the quality of that.
Exactly. And leading on to where developers are going. So iRacing had a tyre model update that followed a set of Corsa having a tyre model update. Has now have, I think, R-Factor, I think, had some physics updates as well, which I think was suspension. I think we talked about a few weeks ago, months ago.
Yeah, and obviously AMS are constantly doing
it. And now Forza have to follow suit because they can't just be a simcade, like an arcade now, because everyone now wants more feeling, because you can just pump graphics into anything. They've realized this, that you could just make a game look good, but if it doesn't drive good, no one's going to play it.
No. Well, I'm sure many people will play it, but they just won't play it for very long.
And it is also a direction that Forza are going, the way that I've read some of the articles and stuff. So they're much more alluding to competitions and esporty stuff as well.
Yeah.
And the another reason that alludes that is the fact that they've added multiple tires in Forza 8 as well. So you've got your dry tires and you've got so there you have your soft, medium and hard tires, which is really cool. So you can use those in different scenarios. So you've got, they've alluded to qualifying in there, and yeah, it's really cool. So you can see how they'll work through different heat cycles, and they'll so you could use your soft tires in qualifying, and then you'll see how they move and they'll wear quicker, and then move through into your hard tires, you can use it for endurance racing. That's another really awesome thing that I've read that they're now looking into doing more, especially with the cars that are coming out. And they even give you vintage tires, which is one that I've never seen a sim race do. So that alludes to using cross plies. So you can have cross plies on things like your Ford GT40 and then try and go around Maison Blanc in Le Mans and things like that, absolutely sideways. That would be awesome to do. And the another awesome thing that they've drilled into is using the heat cycle of the tire, which has then allowed it to have a much more smoother drop-off, they're saying. So it allows more predictability and more allowing a more drivability when you're overdriving the tires, so you know what it's doing before you go straight on at a corner, which is really awesome as well. So yeah, it's always a good time in Forza at the moment. I think it should, I've got high hopes for it, and I'm hoping that it will actually work out on the night, really, with Forza, and they actually sort of pull out a really good development with the game and keep it to keep it moving forward, really, for the franchise, to be honest, because they've needed it after the last few games. So another addition that Forza have done is adding and develop the AI into the game and developed it from their Drivatar thing, which I personally didn't have very much to do with their Drivatars. I know they had it with allowing more, allowing you to simulate your friends' sort of behaviors in driving, but this is a lot more optimal for what to actually have competition with your with like offline. So instead of just following a train of cars, you can actually have a race with some AI and they end up making mistakes and wanting to push the limits of what they're doing. And reading articles, they wanted to be 13 seconds faster, which is always nice.
And it's interesting you say that they are fast, because boy are they faster, because with the video that they put out on Forza Monthly the other day, they ran side-by-side laps. I think it was the Mazda... Is it the Mazda Diesel? I don't know. It's an LMP2 anyway. DPI or something. Old car. And it was 13 seconds faster in Forza Motorsport than it was over Forza Motorsport 7.
And is that... Is that braking faster, wanting to hit apexes? Because that's a lot of time. That's what just baffles me. It's a lot of time.
I'm not going to lie, because I've basically been, the time I watched it on my phone a few times. And normally I can kind of like watch just in the set, like in the center of the two shots, and sort of see where one car's gaining over the other. And I was just struck because the other one, the Forza Motorsport one, just disappeared into the distance. Clearly. But I'm going to put it down. The thing is, I feel like it might be flattering to deceive slightly, because I suspect there's more at play than just the AI as the reasoning as to why that would have happened. Because obviously with Forza, it's got, you know, we've got dynamic time of day, we've got weather, therefore we've got different temperatures. We've got the aforementioned tyres and all the associated elements of that that will cause differences with the car, you know, the car performance across the two titles. Then you've got the AI. So,
if we say it's about 8 seconds,
I'd have said seven, eight seconds is probably
that's still a lot of time. That is still quite fast.
I mean, 0.7, all right. 0.7 or 0.8 seconds is a lot of time in motorsport. So yeah, 7 or 8 seconds is a lifetime, but it is. It's going to be very interesting to see how it has accumulated that difference,
and also how it. One thing I say again is I want to know how they interact with not only each other on track, but a racer as well, like an actual person in game, because how that will. Because if you're watching, like if you're coming up to two AI that are racing each other and they're racing how, for example, me and you would race on track, then that's massively different, if that makes sense, to two people racing. And do they give each other the room or to do you see what I'm going with like that?
Yeah, there's human decision making elements which I think differentiates what you historically have seen between AI and real world sim races.
But I suspect
with the way AI is these days, the differences are going to get less and less and less, which I love. Yeah.
And good luck to Forza for like doing this as well, because quite a lot of the time, like I would have loved, like when I'm like playing Forza or whatever, and when I used to play on the odd evening, play things like GTR 2 as well. You just want to just race for an hour around Spa or something, and you don't really care about that you're not racing human, like online or anything. You're just like, I just want to race 50 cars around Spa in a GT car in the wet, and I want to crap my pants, sort of thing. You know what I mean? And you really want that like immersive feeling. So
maybe not the last bit, but yeah.
Apart from the crap my pants as being immersive.
Yeah.
But it's Il Rouge and Radeon, like, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. But I think it, you know, because I think there's certain title AI where the AI, even on the hardest settings, has randomly just like braked on apexes of corners where us as humans would just go, nah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Because that's what their programming has told them is the limit of what you could achieve. it doesn't sound like this new AI is going to be quite like that. So it is going to be. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely know there's going to be loads of people out there who are completely not interested in this level of depth insofar as Forza is concerned, because all they want to do is they want to jump into some Supra or something, lower it, put stupid rims on it, put a stupid livery on it,
and Red go Bull crash,
and go default, and go crash into their mates and laugh about it, and then put the game on the shelf, the figurative shelf, and never play it again. And that's absolutely fine. But for the thick end of 16 years, well, me and lesser than that, you, have both been involved in community racing on Forza that has seen some, has seen some pretty good guys and girls come through the ranks. So,
exactly.
And a lot of that is down to the quality of what Forza produces in terms of a motorsport experience. So for them to go back and really emphasize the motorsport element of this and build this new AI around that is really heartening, I have to say. It's going to be... I know I keep flip-flopping with Forza in terms of how I feel about it as a game. But on the whole, It's
positive to hear, we do flip-flop with Forza. We go, oh, yeah, but then you get sort of blindsided by all these, iRacings and ACCs and things like that that go, yeah, we can just do this and everything. And then you think, oh, well, Forza's just being Forza. But then when they turn around and go, actually, this is where we want to go. And you sort of well, actually, that's good. I can get behind that. And you sort of think, like, I might not play it, or I might not, race on it or compete on it how their direction is going. But if someone buys that, gets really good, and then goes, well, actually, I'll move on to iRacing, and then I race them on iRacing, and they're not going to put me in a wall. Thanks, Forza, for developing this person. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that is exactly what we've wanted to be the case for forever, really.
Exactly. And that as a whole I can get behind. Is inspiring people to move horizons. No pun intended.
God's sake, you go there. Let us talk, we've somehow come to the last 10 minutes of the show. Let us talk about, because I think we're gonna have to, because it's part of the Simcast always, a couple of race rigs that we've come across recently. Now, which way should we do this? Let's do this. Let's do the cost-effective version first, shall we? The guys at SimLab, and they, let's face it, they are. This is the Rolls Royce of sim rig setups generally. Have produced the GT1 Pro. It's got some next level racing feel about it in terms of the way the uprights are sort of swept back towards the driver a little bit more. But they've brought this one out as a not quite entry level sim rig. Just trying to put it, their pre-order exclusive discount at the minute is £483. Obviously, that does not come with a seat. That would be extra. But when you add in things like a monitor mount, so even if you wanted integrated,
it so goes up in price.
kind of does. And in terms of seats, I'd honestly be suggesting getting a set, like a proper racing seat from like a Demon Tweaks or that kind of thing. Though SimLab does have a limited supply of genuine racing seats such as Sparco themselves. But depending on the one that you pick, you put a Sparco Circuit 2 in there with a integrated single screen mount in there, and that jumps from £483 up to £1,100.
Yeah, that does. That's, I mean, you could have no integrated bits, and then just the top end seat, and then that becomes £878. So yeah, playing around with the bits and pieces, and it really does.
Or you could go to Track Racer and you can get pretty much a whole entire thing with the mount and a seat and all and the sliders and the all this, that and the other for quite a bit less than that. And arguably the quality is no less at all. But that's just obviously my opinion.
Yeah, it does look cool. I'm not going to lie. It does.
I do like it.
It does look cool.
What I like about the integrated mounts for the screens, it kind of, because the way they kind of like they kind of go out and then back on themselves, like it kind of slightly makes me think of like an AMG GT3 rear wing mount. And it's a stupid thing to think because it's nothing like that.
But it does,
it does kind of give me that little vibe a bit. And I thought that's quite cool. Maybe we could just get a couple of those wing mounts and do it that way. But you know.
It might even be a lot cheaper anyway if you do it that way.
Quite possibly. Especially if you accidentally fire one at the side of the circuit or something.
Exactly.
Which that's is also cool. Possible. Especially if you go to a DTM meeting. that's quite cool. And now should we look... The not so cost effective option, which I'm just trying to find again. Tekken Sim, spells S-Y-M. Virtuoso Simulator. It's a carbon fiber monocoque. Didn't emphasize that at all. There's no other way around. It's £100,000.
I mean, you can't float around that price tag, can you? That's like you can't actually float around.
Not really, no. It's a motion rig, custom tuned to each of the each customer's requirements. So you could basically have it set to pretty much any car that you like to drive the most. It's a beautiful piece of kit. It genuinely is, and it's pretty much a proper carbon fiber tub. And everything, so that is partially why the price tag is probably quite.
It is a lot of carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot, and it will hurt you. Is not only your wallet will it hurt? It will actually hurt you. Yeah.
I like the layout of it. I think it's a very. It's got that proper motorsport feel, especially obviously literally basically being surrounded by carbon fiber. Can't help but think it's a little bit of a one-trick pony, because if you basically spec it to be one type of car, and let's face it, who drives just one type of car in any given sim racing game? And I sort of think there's a potential for it to take you, because you know, you take the wheels off, you swap them around, you know, you'll change your hubs and all this, that and the other from time to time. It's got to be pretty spot on, you know, for a lot of different types of vehicle. Otherwise, it's kind of a bit one-trick pony.
I would hope that it is, like, you could take it, like, Formula Racing, and then the next day you're doing the Spa 24 Hours or something like that on iRacing with it.
Mm.
But then again, all of the PR marketing and everything has been, this is a GT3 hub and this is a GT3 race and this is GT3 and everything else is GT3, and it's built by Dallara, and that builds LMDH cars, and it's very
the other advantage PR about a normal sim is the fact that normal sim, when you hit a curb, won't damage your crotch, whereas this will.
Which means it's a great introduction to like driving a race car, because to me, like, this is actually, as a, if I was like a race team manager and I wanted to do sort of driver coaching and things like that, this is a great investment actually, because if it hurts the driver, he's not going to hit that curb at like Brands Hatch or anything that's going to damage my suspension of my car and cause £100,000 and £200,000 of rot off my car.
What hurts more, my wallet or my crotch?
Exactly. Mm. So everyone who drives LMP3s should drive this.
Dentists of the world.
Yes.
We have a sim rig for you.
So there you go. They will not hit any curbs or any street furniture whatsoever because they'll get hurt themselves as well.
Yeah. And as I said from the start of this bit, it's a beautiful piece of kit. Incredibly well engineered. I can never quite comprehend who has these and why.
One thing to leave this on is that the last paragraph in the article of this, it says you may be forgetting that the £100,000 you'd want a motion rig to jolt from side for side or even do loop the loops. So this thing has the ability, and they've probably even tested it to do that sort of stuff. So it probably could be used for flight sim.
I don't think it actually can do loop the loops, but it would be quite funny if it could. Especially if it doesn't have a roof, so that's otherwise known as the Jordan Taylor Sim Racer.
There you go. So
sim racing experience.
This is.
Or was it Ricky? Yeah.
But then, is this more expensive than the Red Bull one? It's the same price, actually, and I think this is better than the. This is actually, I think, cheaper. I think a little bit.
If I could have the Red Bull one in bare carbon fiber.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
I still don't need the wing or the halo situation for the start. The halo would just be a hula hoop for me, and an ill fitting one at that. But it would still be if you could have that in bare carbon, sold.
Everyone likes a bit of bare carbon.
Everybody does like a bit of bare carbon. And on that bombshell, it's time to end the show. Stephen's off to see if he can find €100,000 down the back of a sofa somewhere. Probably not his own. It's probably a sandwich down the back of that one.
That's true.
It's probably just going, oh, I forgot about that. So, I've been Matt Hunter. Steve has been audible this week, which is quite something. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Next week, we shall... you shall have the dulcet tones of Mr. Ben Williams and Mr. Lewis Satterley and probably Taylor as well. As I said, stick around because next month we've got some the UK show have got some cool interviews coming in with various marvellous people from the motorsport industry. So do please stay tuned for that. And on that, I shall say goodbye. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Play the jingle, Tim.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.